Amen. Wow. Thank you, team. Aren't you glad that God reigns above it all? Man, wow. We're going to be talking about some things today where when we face really difficult and hard things in life, how do we respond? Let me tell you, one of the first things we need to do is we just need to acknowledge, Lord, you reign above it all. You reign above it all. You're bigger than any of the problems I've got. You're stronger than any enemy that I face. And you defeated Satan hands down on the old rugged cross because you didn't stay on that cross. You didn't stay in the grave. You rose again. And so you reign above it all. And man, what a blessing. And so I want us to just pray and ask God to teach us today how we can learn to better deal with the things that Satan tosses our way. Because life is filled with a lot of ups and downs. And we just need to know that's a part of life. He reigns above it all. So let's pray, all right? Sweet Jesus, I love you. I honor you. I thank you for being in this place today. I thank you that you reign above it all. I thank you that you are our God, our King, Lord, our Savior. That someday you're going to return and you're going to put an end to this old world as we know it. But Lord, in the meantime, you haven't come back yet because there's still those who have yet to accept your love and your grace. And it is not your will that any man should perish. And so you're giving ample opportunity for those who will believe to believe. So Lord God, I just pray that you'll have me behind the cross today and just use me as a mouthpiece. I can't do this, Lord, on my own. I never have been able to. I never will be able to. Lord, I just need you to be my strength. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you hear our prayers. And we pray believing in the sweet name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. It is so good to see you this morning. Amen. So, you know, in this life we face hard things. Anybody in here ever face hard things? Let's see if there's any. Yeah, a few hands going up there. Some of you have just, you know, it's been a rose garden for you, and that's great. Praise the Lord. but we face hard times, all of us at different times, and in varying degrees. And so what do you do? How do you handle hard things? Do you worry and fret? Do you get frustrated? Do you get angry? Do you get depressed? I mean, those are some important questions. And I want us to, we're going to read from the book of Acts today, and we're going to be in chapter 13. So if you want to open your Bibles, if you want to read with me, you're welcome to do that. It's also going to be on the screen. So Acts chapter 13, let's see, I've got it here in my Bible. Let me find it here. There we go. And super excited about what God's going to teach us. We're going to begin in verse 49, all right? So it says, the word of the Lord spread through the whole region, all right? But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue, and there they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and the Jews together with their leaders to mistreat them and stone them. That's what they were going to do to Paul and Barnabas. But Paul and Barnabas found out about it and they fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country where they continued to what? Preach the good news. Paul and Barnabas had moments of great ups and deep downs while on their missionary journey. And we too will have great ups and deep lows while on our mission and in our lives. And we've got to learn how to deal with life's ups and downs. And I want us to look at some facts that we discover from our text that will help us with life's ups and downs. So fact number one is ups and downs are a reality of life for everyone. I mean, folks, if you hear a preacher say, yeah, you do this and this and this, and you won't have any troubles or you won't have any downs, it'll just be all up from here. Paul wrote about half of the New Testament. And he had a lot of ups and downs, so don't buy that. Ups and downs are a reality of life for everyone, believers and non-believers alike. And so when we look back then, it says the word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region, but the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of that city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from the region. And we touched on this last week, remember? And I said, I don't know if I'd be all happy about it if I got kicked out of town. It says the word of the Lord was spreading through the whole region. Now, do you think Satan was happy about that? Absolutely not. And remember how unhappy Satan was when the proconsul believed? That was a sermon that Andrew preached several weeks ago. And we saw also a few weeks ago that Satan went to work immediately to discourage and break up the amazing evangelistic team of Paul and Barnabas and John Mark. John Mark left and went back to Jerusalem. Paul and Barnabas traveled on to Pisidian Antioch, and we talked about that last week, how they were invited to speak in the synagogue. And Paul didn't hold back on the hard truths that they needed to hear, and guess what? They invited them back to speak the next Sabbath, and this happened. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But this also happened. When the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. They began to contradict what Paul was saying and heaped abuse on him. Paul and Barnabas, folks, were run out of town and the region. And remember that we read that even though they had faced such ridicule and hardship, God's word says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And then they head to Iconium, but they face a similar situation there. It says that Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. That would have been exciting to be at that revival meeting, right? But watch this. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Folks, they were experiencing all kinds of success in sharing the gospel, and many were believing, but at the same time, Satan was working overtime to discourage them. Does that happen in your life? Happens in mine. Satan was stirring things up and poisoning people's minds against Paul and Barnabas. It's hard to imagine the emotional ups and downs that Paul and Barnabas were experiencing. But you know what? They were faithful. And what about now? You may face ups and downs in many areas of your life. Financial, family, work, your health. Emotional, mental, or you know, in your spiritual lives, a lot of times there's ups and downs. We all have ups and downs. Even people like Billy Graham. Now, some of you may not remember Billy Graham. Some of you younger people might go, "Who's Billy Graham?" He was a very well-known evangelist that packed out stadiums and arenas and reached many people for Jesus. But even he had some extremely difficult times. In fact, his son Franklin Graham, that now runs Samaritan's Purse, was drinking and smoking pot and got kicked out of the Christian college he was attending. How do you think that looked on Billy Graham's resume as an evangelist? Thankfully, Franklin later got his life right with the Lord, and what a blessing. But at one time, Billy Graham even thought about quitting the ministry. Yeah, you heard me right. Some of you might not, like I said, may not know or remember who Billy Graham was. So I wanted to see what the world had to say about Billy Graham. So I went to Wikipedia, and here's what it says. William Franklin Graham Jr. was an American evangelist, an ordained Southern Baptist minister, and a civil rights advocate, whose broadcast and live sermons became well known internationally in the mid to late 20th century. During a career spanning 6 decades, Graham was a prominent evangelical Christian figure in the United States. Graham's estimated lifetime audience, including radio and television broadcast, topped billions of people. But folks, even this amazing man of God, a spiritual giant in my book, because you know what? He wasn't all about the money. In fact, at one point he made $15,000 a year. One time he made about $36,000 a year. And that year his ministers association gave away like over $600,000. He made $35,000. He was never about the money. He was about reaching people for Jesus. Amen? So I had a lot of respect for him. And he maintained his integrity and his faithfulness until the Lord called him home. But he dealt with ups and downs. And I want you to listen to this from Henry Blackaby's book on spiritual leadership. Billy Graham was 30 years old when he reached a crossroad in his life. His good friend and colleague Charles Templeton had abandoned many of the beliefs that he and Graham had formerly shared. Now Templeton ridiculed Graham for his faith. And although Graham was a successful college president and an itinerant evangelist, the core of his life and ministry had been shaken. If those who had been closest to him were abandoning their fidelity to the Bible and its teachings, was he naive to continue trusting them as he had in his youth? And listen to what Billy Graham said in his autobiography, Just As I Am. As that night wore on, my heart became heavily burdened. With the Los Angeles campaign galloping toward me, I had to have an answer. If I could not trust the Bible, I could not go on. I would have to quit the school presidency. I would have to leave pulpit evangelism. I was only 30 years of age. It was not too late to become a dairy farmer. But that night, I believed with all of my heart that the God who had saved my soul would never let go of me. And he then prayed, "Oh God, there are many things in this book I do not understand. There are many problems with it for which I have no solution. There are many seeming contradictions. There are some areas in it that do not seem to correlate with modern science. I can't answer some of the philosophical and psychological questions that Chuck and others keep raising." He then says, "At last the Holy Spirit freed me to say it. Father, I'm going to accept this as thy word by faith. I am going to allow faith to go beyond my intellectual questions and doubts. And I will believe this to be your inspired word." When I got up from my knees at Forest Home that August night, my eyes stung with tears. I sensed the presence and power of God as I had not sensed it in months. Not all my questions had been answered, but a major bridge had been crossed. In my heart and mind, I knew a spiritual battle in my soul had been fought and won. I've read numerous books by Billy Graham, and he was a tremendous influence on my life. And I'm so thankful that he didn't give up during those hard times. In fact, listen to what Wikipedia says about his accomplishments. As a result of his crusades, Graham preached the gospel to more people in person than anyone in the history of Christianity. According to his staff, more than 3.2 million people have responded to the invitation at Billy Graham Crusades to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I'd say he's a pretty good soul winner. Amen? So fact number one, ups and downs are a reality of life for everyone. And here's fact number two. Some things you can change, some things you can't. So let's look back then. You know, it says, so they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them, and they went to Iconium. Paul and Barnabas had to realize that some were just not going to accept their message. That was hard for Paul and Barnabas to accept. Paul had such a burden for his own people, the Jews, that he once said this. Listen to this. "I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race, the people of Israel." Wow. But Paul knew he couldn't force them to accept God's love. He couldn't exchange his salvation for theirs. Doesn't work that way. Some things you can't change. Some things you can. Paul couldn't change some of the circumstances he would face as an evangelist. It was brutal. You know, Pastor Jay recently mentioned in a sermon some of the types of persecution that Paul went through. Things that he had no power over and could not change. Let me remind you, Paul said, 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. And I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Wow, he went through a lot. What about now? When I think about all that Paul went through, I look at my troubles and they pale in comparison. I've not been beaten 39 times even once. And the spankings I got when I was a kid, I deserved every one of them. But when I think about what Paul went through for the cause of Christ, I look at my troubles and they pale in comparison. And I am also reminded of the struggles that some of you have endured. Some with serious illness. Some with the loss of a loved one, a spouse, child, parent. So many extreme difficulties in life. And so many of you in this room have been such an inspiration to me. God has used your faith in the midst of the storms of life to encourage me and challenge me. And you all know that there are things that we can change and things we cannot change when it comes to our circumstances in life. Certainly there are things we can do to help the ups and downs become less extreme. I mean, you know, we can make better decisions financially. We could spend more time nurturing our family relationships. We can work at our jobs with an attitude, I'll do my best work as if I'm working for the Lord. We can do more to live healthy lives. Yet with each of these things, we all know that there are variables that are out of our control, which I talked about in a sermon a short time ago. Choices that others make affect us in our families and in our lives and at school and at work. And it can be heartbreaking. And sometimes the unexpected can happen. And I know I shared this sometime back, but when I crushed my foot in a freight elevator in high school, junior in high school, I was working at Fred's Dollar Store in downtown Vicksburg. My grandparents sent me a piece of art, one of those little books that's been kind of opened up and kind of molded and shellacked where it's in its own little stand, and it has the Serenity Prayer written on it. It says, God grant me the strength to change the things I can, the courage to endure the things I can't change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Love that. Even in our spiritual lives, there are mountaintops and then there are the valleys and the dry times. The psalmist King David expresses the difficulties of facing circumstances you can't change in Psalm 55, 1 and following. He says, listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my plea. Hear me and answer me. My thoughts trouble me and I am distraught because of what my enemy is saying, because of the threats of the wicked, for they bring down suffering on me and assail me in their anger. My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen on me. Fear and trembling have beset me. Horror has overwhelmed me. I said, oh, that I had the wings of a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Anybody ever felt like that? He said, I would flee far away and stay in the desert. I would hurry to my place of shelter, far from the tempest and storm. But listen to what David eventually concludes. Ready? In verse 16, he says, as for me, I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. While there will be mountaintops and there will be valleys in our spiritual lives, we must come to a place where our spiritual lives are not on a constant roller coaster, no matter the ups and downs and circumstances of life. Because we got to know that he reigns above it all. Like the psalmist, when he calls to God evening, morning, and noon, anytime you are in distress, know that he hears your voice. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. And how do we accomplish this? This takes us to our third fact. We must learn to rejoice no matter what. So let's look at back then. It says, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And you remember last week, and I told you again today, I just don't know that that would be my my reaction to being run out of town. I mean, it'd be difficult. And sometimes it's not my reaction when I face hard things in life. But the disciples, even in the midst of turmoil, the persecution and the rejection, had seen many lives changed, and they had seen many come to faith in Jesus, and they were elated about that. At Iconium, it says, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. So God continued to bless their ministry even in the midst of the terrible ups and downs. And it says, but the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. Here's the amazing thing you must see. You ready? God gave them special strength and powers to be able to stay at Iconium for a long time in spite of the opposition that they faced there. They didn't just pick up and leave. Even, you know, it's like they would have to be forced out of town. As long as God wanted them there and they could, they would stay there. It says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The Lord confirmed their message to the people, even though many rejected it. But not all rejected, and that was cause for rejoicing. Amen? And I think Paul and Barnabas remembered the words of the psalmist, but may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, the Lord be exalted. What about us now? What about here today? What about your life when you face the unthinkable, the unavoidable, the unexpected, the unbelievable difficulties that sometimes just come out of nowhere? Are we to rejoice no matter what? That just can't be what we're expected to do, right? Rejoice no matter what? Well, Paul tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So yes, we are to rejoice no matter what, but let me explain something to you. This doesn't mean we're to be happy when bad things happen to us or one of our loved ones. The loss of a loved one, serious illness, difficulties in relationships, a mess up or a failure in your own spiritual life. No, we're not happy about these things, but we must remember that happiness is based on circumstances. However, the joy of the Lord is based on the promises of God in Scripture, which He never breaks. And sometimes I've had deep pain and grief in my heart over the loss of a friend. With tears flowing from my eyes and with a hurting heart, I was still able to, by faith, rejoice in the Lord because I knew God was going to make good come out of the bad, even though I couldn't imagine how. The Bible states this, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve as the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep with Him, but we'll see them again. So people of faith, we grieve, we cry, but not like those who have no hope. We have a blessed hope, a no-so hope, that while not all things are good, we know that God can make good come out of the bad. God doesn't cause the bad, but He sure has power to use it. Listen to what Paul wrote in Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. He says, in all things, God works for the good. Not all things are good. All things work for good. And I've personally witnessed God turning the evil into good in my life as I trusted Him and held on to His hand through the trials and tribulations. Do you remember the story of Joseph in the Bible? His brother sold him into slavery and he told his poor old dad that he'd been killed by a wild animal. His dad just grieved. And years later, God used that evil act to accomplish His will. God made Joseph second in command to the Pharaoh of Egypt during a time of great famine. And when Joseph's brothers went to get food, an amazing story unfolds and they realize that the man that they were asking for food, the second in command in Egypt, is none other than their long-lost brother that they sold into slavery and then lied about it. And they are scared to death. Listen to what happens next. His brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. We are your slaves, they said. But Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, But God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. So then don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children. And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. Wow. God used that awful family situation to save Joseph's whole family from starvation. We don't rejoice about all things, but we rejoice in all things. Paul tells the church at Thessalonica, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You don't say thank you, God, for this tragedy or hardship. You thank him in it, that he's going to be with you and he's going to get you through it, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And what does this mean? Thank him no matter what you're going through, because he loves you, that he has a purpose for you, that he's there with you in the midst of the storms and in the midst of the messes of life. Remember this truth. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, or anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Folks, he has a purpose for you. And Ephesians 1:11 says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we who were the first to what? Hope in Christ might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed. That goes along with what Andrew said earlier. God is sovereign, but he's given us the choice to choose to believe or not. Having believed, you were marked in him with the seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Jesus told his disciples, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And what does this promise of Jesus really mean for you and for me? Well, the same thing it meant for Paul the apostle. You ready? He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Jesus is your strength, your good shepherd, your peace, and your provider. Paul says, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, what must we do to be able to rejoice in all circumstances, good and bad? Fact number four. Commit yourself to God and he will get you through the ups and the downs of life. Commit yourself. Then it says, so Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews to gather with their leaders to mistreat and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country. Folks, God gave Paul and Barnabas supernatural abilities and alerted them to the wicked plan of their enemies, and they were able to flee to safety. Paul gives the secrets to this kind of commitment in 2 Corinthians. Ready? It says, rather, as servants of God, we commend, which in the Greek means commit, we commit ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. And here comes the resources that you have when you commit yourself as a servant of God in every way. Ready? In purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. What about today? You might ask, how do I make that kind of commitment so I can have those resources? It's a good question. Let me remind you of some verses that we've already read. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray continually. What does that mean? Does that mean that we go into our prayer closet and never come out? No. It means that you remain in an attitude of prayer throughout the day. That you remain aware of God's presence in your life in every moment by way of His Holy Spirit. And you converse with Him at various times of the day, morning, noon, and evening. Daily commit everything in your life to God in prayer. Your agenda, your goals, your family, your finances, your disappointments. Hold nothing back. Commit everything to God and He will take care of the rest. The writer of Proverbs says it so well. To man belong the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. I'm reminded of the words of this old hymn, and it encourages me to pray morning, noon, and night. Take everything to God in prayer. Remember this, and if you remember it, you could kind of sing it with me. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. And watch this verse. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. In His arms He'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there. Wow. How much pain do we take needlessly because we don't take everything to God in prayer? If we will do that, then we can do this. The last fact, we can determine to never ever quit no matter what. It says there was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews together with their leaders to mistreat and stone them, but they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. They didn't quit. They continued to preach the good news. Enough said, really. And that's why we're here today, because the people that Paul and Barnabas led to Jesus, led people to Jesus, who led people to Jesus, who led people to Jesus, all the way down to you and me. Thank you, Lord. And so, it's hard not to quit when it seems Satan won't quit and the circumstances just don't seem to get any better. I get that. That's when we have to rejoice anyway. Always trusting that God's got a bigger plan and that nothing gets through unless He allows it. And if He allows it, then He's got a greater purpose for it. And He will give us what we need to get through it. And He will use it for our good. But it's hard to walk by faith when our feelings are fighting us in every way. You ever been there? When you just can't seem to shake the negative thoughts and the hurt feelings and the betrayals and the feelings of fear and uncertainty? I know they did away with the old red cabooses on trains some years ago, so some of you have never seen a caboose, but Now they just have a blinking red light at the end. Not nearly as epic as a cool red caboose, right? In the old days, if you saw a train being pulled by a caboose, one of two things was happening. It was either backing up, or it was trying to make it up a mountain, and the engine quit, and now it's a runaway train. Now, why would you know it was one of these two things? Because cabooses don't pull trains. They don't have an engine. And sometimes Christians try to run their Christian lives based on their emotions and their feelings. That's the caboose, folks. Feelings follow the faith. Feelings follow the promises of God, the knowledge of His Word. Emotions are based on circumstances, and circumstances change. And feelings can be impacted by what you had to eat or drink last night. They're extremely undependable. Your life must be based on something that is stable and does not change with the latest fad, whether it be political or social. You must walk by faith in a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. You must remember this: therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in the sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Let's pray. Sweet Jesus, I just am so honored and thankful and appreciative of the way that You allow Your Holy Spirit to live within us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to embolden us, Lord, to continue to take Your gospel, Your good news, to the world, even when we're going through hard things, tough things, troubles and trials and tribulations. Help us to be like old Paul and Barnabas, and to never give up, to never quit, that we'll always share the gospel no matter where we are, where we go, where You take us in our lives. Help us to be faithful to share Your love till the day we draw our last breath. And we'll give You honor and glory for the lives that will be changed. I love You, Jesus. Thanks for hearing this prayer. In Your sweet name I pray and believe. Amen. Would you